If you ever spend any time around horse people, of which my mother is one, they will tell you how important the blacksmith or farrier is to the well-being and usefulness of a horse. He trims the hooves and fits them with horseshoes. I recently had a conversation with my mother's farrier, Bill. That got me thinking about the crucial role of iron in our young nation's years.
I'm telling you, the Civil War was won by the North because of horseshoes.
Bill, my mother agrees with you 100%.
I mean, most people don't give it much thought. It's a shame. I mean, how did these regiments of New Yorkers and Vermonters get south in the first place? On the backs of horses. And by rail. And they brought a bunch of horseshoes with them. Because the back of a horse is only as good as the feet under them. But I'm telling you, all the shoes and horse nails were made in factories up here. The South didn't have that kind of industrialization.
Yeah, I guess that goes back to our founders. Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson were arguing about what kind of nation America would be.
And Alexander Hamilton had old George Washington on his side. Thank goodness. Jefferson's ideal. Everybody farming their own land. Where would that get us? I mean, you need to make good horseshoes that will stay on if you want to farm. Especially up here. This rocky soil will pull a shoe right off without some strong nails to hold them on.
Well, I think Hamilton and Jefferson had more on their mind than horseshoes with the birth of a nation and all.
You're missing the point! The Americans had just barely won the war against Britain. Yet right away, there's Benjamin Rush from Philadelphia, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, saying, "By establishing manufactories among us, we erect an additional barrier against the encroachment of tyranny. A people who are entirely dependent upon the foreigners for food or clothes must always be subject to them."
Wow. You can quote him word for word?
Yeah, I know my history, especially when it comes to our war for independence. Alexander Hamilton offered rewards and prizes for improving manufacturing and making new inventions. He encouraged mining in this region. He said, "Manufactories of iron, with due cultivation, will rapidly succeed."
Just to play devil's advocate, I think Jefferson was concerned with the urban squalor he saw in industrialized Europe and the kind of corruption that goes along with that.
But cotton farming relied on slavery. Farming isn't some utopia. In 1807, Jefferson crafted an embargo. The U.S. wasn't allowed to sell its goods. At the same time, Jefferson allowed ships from foreign markets in. And what did that do to us? Disaster! A major imbalance of trade.
Hey, Bill, take it easy on old Jefferson. He was our third president after all.
Yeah. Well, he figured it out. Because of the Civil War, he saw the value that manufacturing had and the advantage it gave the North. By the time of the Civil War, the North had the men, money, manufacturers, and materials, including...
including iron for horseshoes and nails.
You got it.
The entire iron industry benefited from the need for war material.
Those iron industry leaders, the Hammonds, the Penfields...
and the Witherbees and the Shermans...
Henry Burden, Erastus Corning, or John A. Griswold. For them, the question was not if, but when they were going to get the big payoff.
Maybe the farriers of today, like Bill, are the few folks left who still identify with that time of the nation's growth, a combination of elbow grease and working together with nature. Naturalist Winslow Watson visited this area in 1873. He saw an air of life, of prosperity and success animates the whole scene. Activity and effort are everywhere impressed upon the character of the people. Idleness in this stirring community has no tolerance. Brain and muscle are put upon their highest tension. Certainly, this was an optimistic view for our nation.